David wrote in Psalm 61, verse 2, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." I've entitled this message, "The High Rock and the Overwhelmed Heart." I've appreciated the worship here today so far. Our hearts long to worship, but I had no idea the condition of every heart here today. Perhaps you've come to this service completely rested and with a trusting heart. And if this is your situation, this type of a message will probably be more like taking vitamins, preventative. But if you are a thinking, living, breathing individual, living in a real world, then there will be times where your heart will be overwhelmed. When the cares of life will increase, when life is hard, when fears oft affright, when you're in a panic, I hope that you would be led to the rock that is higher than you are. And I trust that you would remember that you are not in this world alone. You don't need to solve all of your problems or have all of the answers to have your heart be at rest. Because when you are at rest, you can think better and you can make wiser choices. Well, it is truly a blessing for us from Grove City to be here for this occasion and to say farewell to Henry Schrock. The memories for me of Henry go back longer than I can remember. He is the last of the Minnesota preachers that I grew up in to pass away. And his sermons would linger with me. His well thought out sermons that were delivered in a quiet, methodical way are there. And I do thank you for your contribution to Henry as they moved here. And now for your organization for his funeral and this event. It just reminds me again that one generation passes away and another generation takes its place. And so I'm reminded of that this morning here as I stand here thinking of all the other seniors that are here and ministers that are present here. And I would just seek to fill this responsibility, to seek to speak for perhaps all of us and leading us to the rock that is higher than I. If you would turn with me to Psalm 61. Psalm 61, beginning at the first verse. "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O, prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So I will sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." Heavenly Father, it's a great privilege that we have to assemble this way as believers to agree together about things that really matter to us. And we say amen to these things. Lord, lead us to the rock that is higher than I. Amen. Now, it is thought that David wrote this psalm as he was fleeing from his son Absalom. Absalom had stolen the hearts of the people. And if you care to follow with me in 2 Samuel chapter 15, I will be bouncing through there to help to set a stage for these events. 2 Samuel 15, verse 2. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate, and so it was that when any man had a controversy came to the king for judgment. Then Absalom called unto him and said, Of what city art thou? And he said, Thy servant is one of the tribes of Israel. Verse 3. And Absalom said unto him, See, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man to dispute of the king to hear thee. Absalom said moreover, Oh, that I were made a judge in the land, and that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. And it was so, that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. And so Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Absalom became very spiritual. Verse 7. And it came to pass after 40 years that Absalom said unto the king, I pray thee, let me go and pay my vow, which I have vowed unto the Lord in Hebron. Absalom organizes a revolt. Verse 10. And Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, As soon as you hear the sound of a trumpet, then shall ye say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. Absalom has a growing allegiance. Verse 12. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gileadite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Gilboa, while he offered sacrifices, and a conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. And David is informed, verse 13, and there came a messenger to David saying, The hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. And David flees, verse 14, and David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, Arise, let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword. And the king's servants said unto the king, Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. And the king went forth, and all his household after him. And the king left 10 women, which were concubines, to keep the house. And the king went forth, and all the people after him, and tarried in a place that was afar off. And in verse 30, there is a picture of parental sorrow. And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet and wept as he went up and had his head covered. And he went barefoot. And all the people that was with him covered every man his head. And they went up weeping as they went. David is pictured in sorrow for his rebellious son, the son that he loved. Children whom parents love greatly have the capacity to cause the greatest of sorrows by their unwise choices. Charles Haddon Spurgeon had this to say to children: Push them not into the tomb before their time, lest their ashes testify against you, and lest in the hour of your trouble, when your children treat you in like manner, And you shall learn the bitterness of rearing in your own bosom the serpent that will sting you with the deadliest of venom. Let each of us take heed that we deal gently with our parents and always treat kindly those who have tenderly fostered us. I find it interesting, or I find it encouraging, that David did not hide his grief. It is no doubt that he was embarrassed by Absalom and his conduct. And yet he had the courage to show his sorrow in front of all. Now, indeed, David had been a distracted father. And this sermon is not a discussion about why children don't always follow their parents' wishes and ways. I'm focusing more on David's heart that was overwhelmed with sorrow over the loss of his rebellious son Absalom, from whom he was now fleeing for his life. And it was here that David worshiped. Verse 32. 2 Samuel 15, 32. And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshiped God, and behold, Hushai the Arite came to meet him with his coat rent and earth upon his head. So this is prayer at the point of overwhelming sorrow. It seemed to David that he was out there so far off that he was at the ends of the earth. He had fled house and home. He was away from the security and the peace and the comforts of home, away from friends, away from human help, away from God's sanctuary. So there are often times where, as Proverbs puts it, Proverbs 14:10 puts it, the heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger cannot intermingle with its joy. There are certain places in one's heart where no one but you know what it's like. And it is here where David prayed. It is thought, Psalm 61, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. Strange as it may seem, that in these times of overwhelming sorrow, or when the heart is overwhelmed, the most blessed cry comes forth. Hear my cry. What is a cry? Is a cry different than prayer? The children of Israel, when they were at the Red Sea, and when Pharaoh had drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were so afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Elijah and the widow that sustained him, whose son died. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn to slay her son? And David in Psalm 34 said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. There were some blind men that were sitting along the road, and they heard that Jesus was coming. And behold, the two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And so here's David saying, hear my cry and attend to my prayer. So I'd say crying out is a form of prayer. And it comes with the other forms of prayer, such as supplication, thanksgiving, praise, repentance, a prayer of faith, of grief, intercessory, persistent prayer, prayer in agony. Here we are talking about the prayer, the cry of the overwhelmed heart. From the ends of the earth will I cry. And this kind of an overwhelmed heart praying may feel like it is in a distant land, far away from human help. The burdens were so heavy that human strength could not lift them. And here it is here, David says, my heart is overwhelmed. So when burdens come, so hard to bear, that no earthly friend can share. When sorrows like sea billows roll, John Bunyan would have said that he was exceedingly tumbled up and down in his mind. The Hebrew word for overwhelmed is to shroud, that is to clothe, hence the idea of darkness, that is to languish or to cover over. It is like when a person, when a man is overwhelmed with sorrow and grief, and his grief is so great that he cannot meet the eyes of his companions. It is in this condition, David said, I will cry. And in another psalm, David says, trust in him at all times, ye people, and pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge, Selah. So it is in these distant places, distant lands, where our hearts should long for the sanctuary. Should long for the sanctuary of God, with God. The temptation is at times to hole up by myself. And even if I feel like it, and I understand the turmoil of the heart that becomes so great, I do not wish to face others. However, Hebrews tells us, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together after the manner of some is. I should not make excuses for not attending a service simply because I do not feel like facing others. It is probably exactly what I need. David goes on to say, lead me. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. This is a delightful portion of the text. The question is, will your heart be led? Will I be led? You know, at times it is almost attractive to enjoy the sorrow and enjoy the attention of being a victim. Somehow enjoying the pity and the comfort. And the attention feels good, so why leave it? It is easier for the overwhelmed heart not to take responsibility. It takes a surrender to be led. To say, I want to be led. I will be led. I will discipline my heart. I will discipline my mind to be led. It involves a simple admission that I need to be led. I have not within me the ability to correct my thinking about the current conditions. And it also may be difficult to admit that the tossing of these billows are some of my own making. Our cry must be, Lord, lead me. But lead me where? Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Yes, lead me to the rock. Will you check out the size of the rock? It seems that we, mankind, enjoy, or it makes sense to us, to compare things, to make comparisons. So we often find ourselves comparing ourselves among ourselves, which is a default we fall back into. It's not wise, but we do it anyhow. Who is greater, they or I? Foolish thinking. But is it not true that we do enjoy things that are powerful? Men, we enjoy things that are powerful. I'm sorry that I missed the powerful thunderstorm last night. I enjoy those. I was in the basement. I didn't hear it. As long as I feel I'm safe. And I'm from Minnesota, and there is a sense in me that still gets goosebumps when there is a powerful blizzard, as long as I don't have to travel in it. We are drawn to the powerful, and we long to worship what is greater. So if you will come with the overwhelmed heart, being willing to lead, come and compare the rock. Now, what kind of rock are we talking about? In Minnesota, I grew up picking rocks. And you don't know how to do that in Kansas. But I grew up picking rocks. And picking up rocks about the size of your hand to the rocks that would injure your back. Rocks that you shouldn't lift by hand. So are we talking about that kind of rock? So we like to think in pictures. No. I'm thinking more of a rock like in Yosemite National Park, where you start here and you begin to follow your eyes upward and you go up and up and up. And you do eventually reach the top of that rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus. He's the only one. So if you're at the point with the overwhelmed heart, and it is now time for you to gaze at the rock. It's time for you to take a look. You are at the proper place if you've been led to gaze, and to learn to do this within your inner man. But Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And take my yoke upon you and learn of me." See, that's the gaze. "For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And when we're at rest, you can think clearer, and you can make wiser choices. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she come help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Don't get me wrong, serving is not a bad thing. Just read the other scriptures about serving. But here is the context. Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus and learning. And she's gazing at the rock that is higher than she is. She has a lot of learning to do. So do I. So do you. A shrine is a place that is holy, or deemed holy, because its associations with divinity. A shrine is regarded as a holy place. It helps me to understand that at the most private and intimate part of us, there is a shrine. It's like the Holy of Holies within your heart. Scripture calls it the inner man. And this should be a quiet place that is carefully kept and maintained. Guard your heart. And it is at this place where we find security in the rock. Jesus called it your closet. And when you have gone into your closet, shut the door. And so after the door is shut, you are then able to quietly maintain that inner shrine. And that's where your gazing should happen. That's where you should find the rock that is higher than I. Be still and know that I am God. For many of us, this takes place in the early morning hours to set the stage for the day. You see, unless the heart is still, it is hard to listen. Without being still, it is very difficult to know. That is to know our God, who is my rock. David continues on in Psalm 62, where he's talking to himself. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, I think it's biblical to talk to yourself. I do that and I get accused of it. I think it's a healthy practice. David said, verse 5 of 62, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." So to the overwhelmed heart, I would say your total expectation needs to be from him. You must put down your whole weight on him and to lean fully on the everlasting arms. Perhaps you've heard about that nervous man who went up in the airplane for the first time. And after he landed, he was asked, "How was your ride?" To which he replied, "Very well, but I never did put my whole weight down." You see, you will never be much. No, you will never enjoy very much the journey of life unless you are able to put your whole weight down. Or you trust the pilot and enjoy the ride. Or you can stand on the rock, or you can hide in the shelter of his wings and trusting in him at all times. Now you might be saying, this sounds like a mental exercise. Well, it is. It is. But what is your alternative? One alternative is a constant state of anxiety. In our world, our nation is full of it. And it's also full of a bunch of other answers, to which I will not start to name. My thought is, who is better equipped than us, who have the answers in our hands? I am not saying that there should not perhaps be some other interventions at times. I know that. Enough to be able to slow the mind down so it can process to the point where you can grasp hold of these kind of concepts. So in closing, I would invite you, to be led, and I invite you to the sanctuary. I invite you to gaze upon the rock. I invite you to be still. I invite you to put your whole weight down. Shall we bow our heads for prayer? Our Heavenly Father, as we've sought to think about our great God, our rock, our refuge, our strong tower, mighty fortress, there are many word pictures in Scripture to help us to form some imagery in our minds. And Lord, it is so important that we are in control of or yielding our thoughts, our thinking, bringing every thought captive into the obedience of Christ. And so, Lord, may we carefully guard our inner man, the sanctuary that is within us, and careful to maintain that secure place. And there we find our, where we find our security, so that we can walk confidently in this life without threat. In Jesus' name, amen.